Morning, church. Welcome to the last service of 2017. Wow. I don't know how many of you ever thought that you'd be here, you know. I mean, you think about this day and you think about a year ago. Did you think that you'd be here today? Did you think that the year would have turned out the way it has turned out for you this day? You know, God has been faithful in so many ways, seen us through so many things, and it wasn't just God's faithfulness. It was also your faithfulness. And I want to say, well done, Church of Our Savior, all of you. You know, all the things that we have seen are people like you, in big and small ways, who have come together to make it all happen. So, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness as well. You know, all the people who have served, the ministry, the staffs, all the people who are in front and behind, in secret sometimes, you know, you guys make it happen. As we think about 2017, it's been such a year, hasn't it? It recalls to mind all the different incidents that have happened. You know, we think about some things that we rejoice for. I mean, last week, during Christmas service, we had more than 20 people make decisions for Jesus Christ. At least 20 of them came forward. But, you know, we thank God for all these people whose lives have been changed. We thank God for relationships that have been built. We thank God for the things that God has done for us. And I'm sure that as you think about it, you can think about certain points in the year where God really came through for you. The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, is a verse that says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." Or to translate it another way, the wise man, okay, the wise man's wisdom causes him to study, to reflect, to perceive, to observe the way in which he takes. And I think this is so important for us to do. As we come to the end of the year, for us to observe our way, to understand our way. It has been said that insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. Now, by that definition, most of us are probably insane. Because, you know, we are too busy to do things differently, right? Most of the time in Singapore is go, 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 go. Don't know where going, just go, right? You see a queue, you just join first. And so often in our lives, we just are just going without considering our ways. But the Bible says that if we are to be wise, we need to consider our way, to understand what it is that we are doing. And also to understand what it is, the things that are not working for us. You know, sometimes in life we face disappointments. Disappointments are when our expectations are not met up with our actions and you have this misplaced expectations and we feel pain. So as we draw to the end of this year, I think it is a good time for all of us to take a break. Have a Kit Kat, you know, take a break and pause for a while and to consider 2017, right? In the year 2017, there are three things I want you to consider. First of all, what are the highlights for you in the year? Can you think right now? Can you run back in your mind? Just wind back your, you know, videotape or whatever it is that you have in your mind. Think through the year. Were there times when God really did something for you? Were there moments when you were desperately needing God to answer a prayer and God did it? Do you remember? You know, sometimes we forget all these things that God does for us. Do you realize this? Right? God does it, and like those nine lepers, right? We forget, you know, we are happily going along. But were there things? What about those successes that you've enjoyed in a year? Were there some things that stand out as highlights? You know what? This is the thing that really stood out for me for the year. Are there those things that stand out for you in your year? Successes, victories. For some of you, this was the year you became a grandparent. Don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, but yeah, I suppose it's a good thing, right? Now you got more work to do. You're revived. You know, you're needed once again. And for some of us, this was the year that you saw breakthroughs. Some of you, you're getting married, right? All these things that are happening. You're having your first child. All these things. Your successes, consider this. Second thing, what about our failures? Surely, in every year, there are those things that you have tried to do and you failed to do, right? Beginning of last year, you said you lose 10 kg. Now you gain 2, right? So, you know, I'm sure we all have our losses and our pains. As I look back to a year, there are many things that stand out for me. I think about the loss of Pastor Michael Ross, right? I remember him. 2017 will be that year that, you know, I mean, now he's not with us anymore. I remember Andrew's dad, Wai Kwong, who was our board member and a Christian in our church for a very long time. I remember Diana, our drama team member, who's also no longer with us. I remember friends from afar, Pastor David Davis in Israel, you know, Peter Sukaya's church, who's also no longer with us. I remember these people. There were also some of us for 2017 who have faced tremendous challenges. And some of you have been so brave. I'm so glad to see you here today. Still strong, still fighting. But it's been a testing, a year of trying, a trying year for us. Some of us have been faced with a sickness and illness, ill health, right? Some of you may know our flagger. You know, there's this lady who does our flagging. Her name is Laura. She just had a stroke. She's in hospital. And this is her time for fighting. 2017 can also be that kind of year. Not just the highlights, but also some of the struggles, some of the low lights. Isn't this? Can you think of some of your own? You think through the year. Are there things that stood out for you? And then, what about all those things that were neglected, that were not done, right? You began the year saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. I bought an exercise machine, but now collecting dust, right? Some of us, you got this, yeah, how do you know? Yeah, it happens to a lot of us, right? You bought something, you say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure, you know, and somehow, you know, you still didn't cook yet, right? You wanted to cook, you bought everything, you didn't cook. Or you bought a new Bible because you want to read through the Bible. So far, you managed to read the cover, right? You know, I know we all go through these things, right? But there are things that God wanted you to do, but somehow, in the course of the year, they fell by the wayside. They got forgotten. They got pushed away by other priorities. Maybe for you, in 2017, God wanted something for you to do, but in your busyness with your own things, those things that you wanted to do got pushed aside. That mission trip that you said you must go went aside. That thing that you want to give to, the ministry that you want to serve to, all these things got pushed aside because we were just too busy. So the wise man considers his ways. I want you to take a moment to think about these three things. Things that you have done successfully, you know what I mean, or God has come through for you. Secondly, things that maybe you didn't do so well, right? And you're thinking, you know, I probably shouldn't do this next year, right? I don't do the same thing again. I don't want to be insane. And the third thing, what about those things that you ought to have done, but have not done it? Psalms 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And the question is this, what wisdom has the year 2017 gained you? All that 365 days that we have made through, we went around the sun 365 times. Can you believe that? That's a lot of time, a lot of distance travel. What have we gained from it? So the first point I have today is to look back and to learn. To look back and to learn, right? Because you cannot take the past with you. You cannot repeat and recycle 2017 again. You cannot have a rerun. 2017 is over, it's about to go already. But what you can do is you can take the lessons of 2017 with you. To look back and learn. Not to look back with regret. And sometimes we look back with regret. Oh, I wish I could have, should have, would have. But don't look back with regret. Look back and learn how you can constructively do things differently. Okay? Be practical. Not given to finger pointing or blaming people, but thinking about how can I take those wisdom, the lessons of 2017, and help me live differently for 2018. It's not about blame. It's about growth. Insisting on growing. You know, some of us have been around for so long, sometimes we give up on growing because we think the only thing we're doing is growing old, right? But I'm not talking about growing old. I'm talking about how you can grow in God's purpose and will for your life. You know, every one of you here, every single one of you here, right? Everyone sitting in a chair here, I'm talking to you. That God has a purpose for you. He wants you to grow. And it's important for you to insist on growing and not remain the same. You follow what I'm saying? Don't let 2018 be the same as 2017, be the same as 2016. We are supposed to grow from glory to glory. So what would you do differently? From all the things that we've learned from 2017, what would you do differently? When you look back, have you learned anything? If you haven't learned anything, you'll be insane. Because you do the same thing over and over again. Are you following me? Think about this. What were the lessons? Every one of you, different lessons. But what was the lesson you learned? Have you learned it well? Some of us learn lessons, must repeat many times. Don't be that repeat student, okay? Get it done. Second thing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22, there's this very exciting passage. I'm going to read it to you. It goes like this. Then the multitude arose together against them, them being Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. And the magistrates tore their clothes off and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. When we read this passage, it is obvious that Paul and Silas were having a bad day. Would you say that? Right? It's a pretty bad day. And I guess all of us in our lives, in our journey, from time to time experiences a really bad day. Have you had one of those things? You haven't? I don't know what kind of life you're living, but I guess we all have a bad days. You know, I remember there was one day when, I was a youth pastor and I wanted to go across town to get some things done, getting a videotape done, you know, that morning. And back in those days, we didn't have technology. You had to get people to do, you know, a long time ago, do you know that you didn't even type your own letters? You want to get a letter typed, you had to go to someone to type a letter for you. Do you remember those days? Right? You guys are very young. Because you remember those days, you couldn't type your own letter, right? You didn't have selfies. You go to a shop and people take photo for you. But it was one of those days I had to get something done. And then I woke up late that morning. Oh yeah, late already. That's a bad start already, right? And then no breakfast, so hungry. Along the way, I thought I'd quickly go and buy some pao. So I quickly stopped by Ghim Moh. I bought pao. I threw it in my car, go and pay ticket, come in and promptly sat on my pao. Now my pao become pancake already. It's not a good start. And then now thinking of my pancake, driving along the highway, you know, I was on Shears Bridge and a truck clipped me at the back. So my car now became helicopter, you know, spinning on Shears Bridge. I'm glad it didn't fly right off, right? And then while I was spinning, the truck hit me again from the side. And now I can see the number plate right here, right? I was thinking to myself, should I climb from this seat into the next seat in case it crashed? I got a bit of space, but I can't get there. I saw my flattened pow there, you know. I was thinking, this is not a good day for me, right? I'm about to become flattened like my pow now. You know, sometimes you get these bad days. Well, you know what? Paul and Silas was having one such bad day. They had been run out from many different cities, from Troas to different cities, and finally they had landed up in this city called Philippi. Right? What were they doing? I mean, why were they run out? They were simply trying to do the work of God. They're not out there doing their own business. They're not trying to earn money. They're trying to spread the gospel of the kingdom. But because they were trying to do God's work, they were disliked, they were chased from place to place, they were beaten, and they were now running for their lives from each place to another. So when they came to Philippi, what do you think they were trying to do? They're trying to lay low. They're trying to keep quiet. Let's pause and say, you know what? I think we should just maybe lay low for a while, okay? I mean, there's things that's been a little bit hot lately. Let's just chill out a little bit and keep quiet. Well, that's what they tried to do. And they were out in, you know, Philippi, minding their own business, not trying to get into trouble or anything. And then the Bible says, a girl started following them. This girl was a fortune teller, right? She had a spirit in her that, you know, well, supposedly enables her to tell fortune. I don't believe she can do that, but, you know, that's sort of like how she made her money. And she would follow Paul around. And not only would she follow her, she would say, I know who you are. You are servants of the Most High God. And Paul would say, shh, look, we don't need all this extra attention, right? And she would just follow around. I know who you are. You are servants of the Most High God. And Paul would say, shh, come on, girl. Yeah, we are. Just keep quiet. Done. It's all right. You know, she didn't just do that for a day. She followed them for many days. So every day they walk down the street, and Paul and Silas probably looking, oh, that's the girl again. The girl will look for what? I know who you are. And, you know, this is blowing the cover. Remember, they're trying to escape, right? They're trying. So, finally, Paul gets annoyed. You know, the Bible says Paul was a saint, right? called Saint Paul, but saints also get annoyed. Sometimes you just cannot take it anymore, right? Being a pastor in the church, I know how exactly that feels, right? So I can't take it anymore. So Paul gets annoyed, and he turns to that girl. In the name of Jesus, keep quiet, right? Be silent. The spirit left her, and she kept quiet. It worked, you know? So they were all happy, except now this girl, she's a fortune teller, she's a slave girl. She goes back to her workplace, someone comes along and say, can you tell me, tomorrow will it rain or not? Say, I don't know, you check your internet. You know, she could no longer tell her fortune anymore. So now the owners get really angry. Who did this to you? That woman, that two men asked me to keep quiet. No, I cannot tell anymore. Now they dragged them to court, and that's how we ended up with this whole passage that we just read. The magistrate, they were arrested, they were accosted, they were brought before the magistrates, they were stripped down, they were beaten up, and they were thrown into jail. Not only jail, any jail, but they were thrown into the inner prison. You know, that means the high security part of the prison. They were put, their feet were locked in blocks of wood, in stocks. They were put in chains. And I want you to think for a moment. Put for a moment yourself in Paul's and Silas' shoe, right? Would you say it's a bad day? Would you say so? No, not so bad. It's a pretty bad day, right? I think we can pretty much agree that it's a pretty bad day. Now, what would be running through your mind? You are up there, chains, stocks, in prison, not stock market, the other kind of stocks, the wooden blocks that lock your feet. What would be running through your mind? I think if we're honest about it, most of us will probably be moaning and groaning a little bit. Ah, so painful. Why they hit all places? They must hit that bone. So painful now, right? Probably complaining. Why this prison so cold? They didn't nobody manage the aircon, you know? And why is it so smelly? The last people all urine there. It's so smelly. Nobody maintained this place. What kind of quality control this place? Complain, right? Singaporeans, right? Maybe we are a bit upset with the city of Philippi. What kind of city is this? No privacy. Go around, people must shout at you. Get us into trouble. We are just trying to lay low, minding our own business. What kind of city is this? What kind of judge is that? The judge only listen to their side, never listen to our side. We have not done anything to anybody. Why do they throw us in prison? Why did they throw that girl into prison or something like this? Maybe we'll complain about these things. You know, there are always some reason, legitimate reasons for us to be unhappy, isn't it? Any situation, there's something to be unhappy. This morning, how come it's so gloomy? How come it rained all night? My clothes outside wet? You know, there's always something to complain about if you want to complain. You know, Singaporeans, we are champion complainers. World champion complainer number one, right? The last thing on your mind, if you're Paul and Silas, would have been gratitude. Isn't it? The last thing you would think, I'm so grateful. No, but you know what? That was exactly what was on Paul's and Silas' mind. I just imagine, turn on your holy imagination for a while, that you were with Paul and Silas in that dark and dank prison, hands and feet all tied up. And then Silas was there, it was late at night, their whole body was aching, maybe bleeding, they were looking at each other, and Silas was looking at Paul, you look funny in those chains, you know. And Paul was looking around, you think so? You should have seen it when they threw me in the ship, out of the ship in the sea that time. And they were trying to maybe encourage one another. And as they were doing that, faith welled up in their hearts, right? Faith welled up. And then Paul gets this look in his eyes. He says, Silas, you know what? What, Paul? Silas, I'm glad for this day. You're glad for this day? Are you mad? You're glad for this day. How can you be glad for this day? Look at all these stripes down here. This is not the Hilton, you know, right? How can you be glad for this day? But you know, Paul says, yes, I'm glad for this day because I know that our God is good and He's up to something. He is always up to something. He has a purpose in this whole thing. And that is why I'm glad for this day. You see, even here, in our suffering and our pain, God is doing something. Even though we cannot see it, but I know that He is doing something. And then Paul looks at Silas and, Silas, lead us in a song. Why don't you lead yourself in a song? I'm playing the instruments. What instruments I play? There, this chain song. So Silas, you lead a song. And we will sing. And then right there and then, at midnight, the Bible says, they were singing praises to God, giving thanks and praise to God. Glad for that day. And of course, when you do that, you know, someone said, you know, earth, heaven is his throne, right? Earth is his footstool. And as the singing, God got excited and started to tap his feet, and a great earthquake happened, right? Shook the prison and threw the doors wide open. In fact, not just the doors, but the chains broke open. You know, a lot of people read this and say, oh, this is just an ordinary earthquake. No, listen, normal earthquake, your chains don't break open. The roof drop on you, that's normal earthquake, right? But imagine you have handcuffs, right? Then there was an earthquake, suddenly pop, the handcuffs open. This is not normal. It's a supernatural intervention of God. And God intervened mightily. And because of that, the whole family of the jailer, they all became believers in Jesus Christ. God was doing something. Now, when we look at our own year, we look back at our own year, well, how do you look at your so-called bad days? And that brings me to the second point. Not only do we need to look back and learn, we need to learn to live with gratitude, right? Everyone say gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude. Okay, someone says this. It is an attitude. It doesn't matter what the reasons that we have, you know, or things that are good. Gratitude is when you decide that, you know what, God is good. And all these things, come what may, high and low, high water, low water, you know, you're saying that all these things are important because God is doing something through them. You don't just see things as antagonistic and adversities, you think of them as God's way of making us more like Christ. Even the unpleasant experiences of your life, the painful experiences, the agonies, do you believe that God has used those things to shape you? Because you do, then you have an attitude of gratitude. Many a times, we only thank God for things that we like. Right? We say, God is good all the time, but actually what we mean is, God is good some of the time. Right? We should change the song. You know, we used to sing the song, God is good all the time. You remember this song? Yeah, you know, old people know this song, right? We should change the song to, God is good some of the time, because the other time, I'm not grateful for it. But you know what Paul said? All things work together for good. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? The painful things, the defeats, the agonies, the disappointments, all things work together for the good of those who love God. So don't just thank God for pleasant experiences. Thank God for everything, including the annoyances. Just like that annoying girl, right? Maybe at that point of time, Paul wasn't thinking about it, but in prison, at the end of the day, he reflects, he looks back and he says, you know what? That annoying girl, remember the one who got us into all this trouble? God sent her for the sake of the jailer. But you can't connect the dots before that. Today, as we end the year out, some of you may want to connect the dots and look back and thank God for everything. Not just for the good things, but some of your really tough things. Learn to thank God for it. Can you do that? So speaking of gratitude, I want to thank God for all of you, right? You know, Derek, Pastor Derek used to say, you know, he prayed to God to send him to a very hard place. And God sent him to Church Our Savior, right? Well, for me, I think you guys are a great bunch to pastor, right? I'm so glad to be your pastor. We are not perfect, but I want to thank God for everything that has happened in 2017 this year. Many challenges, mind you, many, many tough challenges, hard work. But you know what? I thank God because God is up to something. I learned to be grateful for everything. Amen. I'm grateful for all of you that you're here. So living gratitude. The third thing. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, a well-known verse, it says this, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren and sisters as well, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things. Everyone say forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. I was just cleaning my house the other day. And I suppose this is the sort of time of the year that many of you might be doing the same thing, right? Cleaning your house. And while I was cleaning my house, I realized that I had all kinds of stuff in my house that has been lying around for years that I have been reluctant to get rid of, right? How many of you have the same problem? Only me, right? Now, I tell you why, I tell you, because every time I want to throw something out, right? Something like this goes through my head. I start to think like, but maybe I need this thing later next week, how? So maybe I better throw out. Now, it can be something as small as a plastic bag. Then you look at this plastic bag, you want to throw out there. But this plastic bag size is quite unique. Most of the size is too small, too big. This one is just like in the middle. But maybe next week, I would need exactly this size. So how? Okay, fold up this plastic bag, keep it away. Right? Do you do this thing or not? You don't do it. I'm just glad it's not just me, right? Right? And then next week, another plastic bag. And you think, hey, this one also quite unique. Pretty soon, you have a whole library of plastic bag, size 1 to size 200, right? Except that you cannot remember. So the next plastic bag come in, I don't know whether I have this one or not. Maybe I need two, right? And as a result, you accumulate more and more. Pretty soon, you become the plastic bag auntie already, right? Five or 10 years from now, Channel News Asia will come to your house. This man has collected more plastic bag. Okay? We do these things, right? We start to accumulate things that we don't need. I remember, many years ago, my sister was moving her house. So she decided to put some things in my house, right? And one of the things she put in my house was a very, very atas, very high-end coffee machine, right? Made of steel and all this kind of thing. She left it there for many years, right? After she moved her house, she did not take those things back, left it there for a long time. Until one day, I opened, hey, we still have this thing, man. Where did this come? Oh, this is my sister's. So I call my sister. Hey, your coffee machine is still here. And, oh, yeah, we bought a new coffee machine. And then after the talking for a little while, the discussion fizzled out. And the coffee machine languished in the cupboard for many more years, right? Then, finally, one day, I said, you know what? We got to do something about this, okay? If my sis doesn't want it, let's give it to church. Because in church, they're always falling asleep during my service. I think they need coffee, right? Let's give to the church, right? And then we started talking about, where in church should we put this? And then after that, my wife said, hey, how about we give to, Salvation Army? And I said, okay, that was okay. So we started to have that discussion about where to give this thing, right? And lo and behold, after some discussion, it fizzled out, right? And then, after it fizzled out, we decided, we're going to throw this away, right? So we put it on plastic bag, everything. We said, we're going to throw this away. We brought it all the way out to right next to the door. There's a chair next to the door. We put it on the chair. It's been remaining on the chair for over a year now, right? Almost left the house. Almost. Nearly there. Another 10 years. Now, then the other day, my wife was not home, right? It's harder when you got two people, because two people more maybes, yeah. She's not home and said, I said, coffee machine, this is goodbye. This is the end. I'm letting you go. I'm forgetting the past. I'm pressing forward, okay? So I took it out and that's it. It's gone from my house. You know what? Many of us got all kinds of coffee machine in your life. Would you agree so? Not just in your house, but in our life, because, we're carrying all kinds of baggage in our life that we sort of want to let go. We kind of think we should let go, but for whatever reason, it almost let go, but didn't let go. Still hanging on there, year after year after year. It might be some of our emotional baggage, right? Somebody said something to you years ago, you want to forgive, you almost forgive, but still maybe I want to hang on a little bit, maybe I want to feel angry for a little bit more, right? One more year. Hurts, people have hurt you. Injustice, someone did something wrong for you. You know what? Nobody remember those things anymore. Even you yourself also don't exactly remember what happened, but you still remember this person. I did something wrong to me, right? Even though I cannot remember what it is anymore. Maybe some vengeance, Or perhaps even broken relationships, right? Broken relationships, very hard to let go of. But so often we hang on to these things. Why? We're hoping that maybe if I hang on to it, one day the plastic bag might become useful. Let me tell you the truth. It's time to let go of that plastic bag. Do you agree? It's this thinking that one day, this indecisiveness about letting go. And that really brings me to this third point, right? So the first one is to look back and learn. Second is to live with gratitude. And the third one is to let go of the past. There are many things in our life, just like this house cleaning, that belong in 2017. Please, don't take it with you into 2018. All those coffee machines, please just decisively get rid of it and allow your heart to rest. Because when you're carrying all these burdens, most of the time, you are the only one carrying these burdens. Those people they're angry at, they all don't know anymore, you know. Right? You're the only one hanging on, hoping that someone will notice how miserable I am. Then they'll come and say sorry. You know, they don't know already. You're only doing this to yourself. So one of the things that is important, Paul says, we need to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are ahead. Because we cannot go in front because you keep looking back. It's like running a race, but you keep looking back. Am I on the right road? Am I running in the correct direction or not, right? Or you keep wondering, how come there's nobody behind? You know, you're always looking back. You cannot go in the future. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. This wonderful promise that is said here. It says, do not remember the former things. Now, of course, we remember the former things. We want to thank God. We remember the former things when we want to take the lessons from it, right? But you do not dwell on former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everyone say new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There are two things I want to say here. First of all, God wants to do a new thing in your life. You know, sometimes we think that God has finished with us already. There's nothing new anymore. And that's why we hang on to the old things, right? We hang on to the old things because we are afraid that God may not do any more things. If I give this up, this is my last piece already. If I let go, then no more, then how, right? Listen, God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen? You can let go of the past because God will give you a new one. Do you follow? You know, when we're in Israel, right? We are, some of us Chinese, you know, we don't like the food there. So we brought bakwa, right? So you eat, eat until the last piece. Then you think, wow, this one, I got 3 more days old, but only 1 piece of bakwa left. Maybe I don't eat. Because who knows, I might get really hungry tomorrow, right? Then you dare not let go of this last piece, you know. Until you didn't eat it at all. You're on the aeroplane already, you still didn't eat it, right? You know, many of us, we hang on to things of the past. So, I'm not just talking about letting go of past burdens or past failures. But sometimes you also need to let go of past successes, past victories. We are clinging on to the past because we are afraid that the future may be downhill from there. But listen, God says, I will make rivers to flow in the desert when you least expect it. Some of you might be thinking, but Pastor, you know my life, I don't think God will do very much. Listen, God wants you to grow to new places, right? He wants your spiritual life to be more than what it used to be. God wants you to experience Him in a way more amazing than in the past. God wants to perform greater miracles in your life than in the past. But if you are clipping, hang on to the past, the one I dare not let go because, you know, I scared what happened next time. Listen, do you believe God is good? Amen. Then God says, I want to do new things. And that is why it is important for us to decisively let go. Clinging on means you dare not let go, right? But decisively, you know, Lord, I'm done with this. I'm done with this coffee machine, right? I'm done with those plastic bags. I don't need it anymore. Someone say, sometimes we don't forgive people. It's like we drink poison, we hope the other person die, right? You drink poison, see, you are the only one who suffers. Let those things go and let 2018 be a new beginning. Amen? So there are three things, right? First of all, we need to look back and learn. Be wise. Learn from the lessons that God has given you. Those are expensive lessons. You pay 365 days of your life to learn those lessons. Learn them well. Secondly, be grateful. Learn to live with gratitude. Learn to thank God. In every situation, when things go wrong, everyone's complaining. You say, I thank God. I'm glad for this day. People look at you, what's wrong with you, right? Because you know what? I serve a good God. That's why you learn to be grateful. Train yourself. By nature, we are complainers, right? By nature, we're complainers. But by Christ, we are grateful people. And third of all, learn to let go of the past. Some of you today need to let go of the past. I know it's not always easy. And some of us, we need to pray that God will heal and close up the open wounds, right? Because some of us carry open wounds, still hurts a lot, right? And pray that today, God will stretch out His hand and really, through the work of the Holy Spirit, heal some of those wounds, put a balm over the bruises, settle our anxieties and worries so that we can let that go and say, you know, fine, I'm going to just leave it there. And that's it. It's time for us to move on. Move on from the brokenness. Move on from the relationships. Move on from whatever it is that belongs in the past. Write off those debts. Okay, some of you, debts. You know, when you write off a debt, right, you feel release. It's not only the other person that gets released. You feel release as well. So, in conclusion, right? I began this year, in January, talking about what was the one thing that we want from God in 2017. And that one thing was more of God's presence. And I can see that God has, you know, been shaping us, setting up the foundation. And I can see that we are standing on the cusp of a new thing. God is going to take that one thing and now He's going to do a new thing. We are standing on this verge. And in order for to enter into this whole new thing that God wants us to do, it's important for us to let go of the past, to be grateful. And as I look back, looking at all that God has done, once again, it's been a joy. Okay, it's my personal thanks to you. It's been a joy to be your pastor. Thank you for putting up with me and my quirks. For the time when I talk too fast, many people have tried to say, "Pastor, talk slower." And I think I will try to talk a little bit slower. I hope that you have learned to listen faster. The real reason I cannot talk slow is because I forget what I'm going to say if I talk slowly. Right, okay? So I talk quickly, right? I've had not enough time to interact with you. I would love to do that. You know, we're on this Israel trip. I've had some opportunity to share about my life a little bit to some of the folks there. And they say, "Pastor, why don't you share more about your life during sermon?" I said, "During sermon, I try to share about Jesus' life." Right? But I want to take time to build our family so that we can share stories. I also want to hear some of your stories. You've got amazing stories. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for putting up with this, for being the family that you are. As we go on forward, we remember God's faithfulness, but now we want to become faithful. Amen? We want to be consistent. We want to be faithful. We want to be a forward-looking people, forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing on forward to take hold of that which God has in mind for you. I believe for every single one of you, God has something for you. Important in 2018. Something spiritual. A breakthrough. Not just for your personal ambition. For God's will and purpose. God has something for you. I hope you're excited for it. Amen? Amen. Why don't we close our eyes and we'll pray right now and we're going to ask God to do this thing, right? God will heal us in our hearts and enable us to let go and to move on. Father, we want to thank you for the year that's passed. As we look back, thank you for the many lessons that you have taught us. Help us, Lord, not to be forgetful, but to learn those lessons and to learn them well. Some of those lessons are telling us not to do some things, not to repeat certain mistakes. Lord, help us to remember those lessons well so that we do not repeat them. Help us to be wise in our ways so that we can be successful in you, Lord. So, Father, we want to pray for that. We want to pray for learning of lessons, hard-earned lessons for some of us. We want to pray for a heart of gratitude. We thank you for all the wonderful things. We thank you for those things that have caused us some agonies, some struggles, some of our losses. Lord, we thank you. For the good and the bad, Lord, we want to say we are glad for this day. Because you cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. But last of all, Lord, as we look back at the year now passing, 2017, Lord, we pray that you give us the grace in our hearts, the decisiveness, the clarity of mind, to say goodbye to certain things. To say, that's it. It's been a great journey, but those things belong here in 2017. They do not belong in 2018. Father, help us to let go of some of those things. If there's someone that we need to forgive, or maybe even some hurts that we have nursed for a long time, Father, let this be the day of the passing of the old and the beginning of the new, Lord. Father, we want to invite you to begin your new will and purpose for each and every one of our lives. We want to ask God that you help us take a first step into 2018, into growth, into your will, into your kingdom purpose for every one of us, Lord. So, Father, we want to thank you for all these things. And now, Lord, we want to commit the year past to you and say thank you for everything. And, Lord, we want to ask you, Lord, to help us look forward to a new year. We ask and pray this because you are our good God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, all of you. Will you stand up together as we sing this closing song for the year?
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say,
Father, we want to give thanks to you. And Lord, we pray that you will ready our hearts, Lord. Ready our hearts for the thing that you're going to do, that you are going to surprise us with, that you cause springs to flow in the desert and in the wilderness. When we least expect it, Lord, you're going to do something. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, as we move on, Father, we want to pray that you make us faithful as well. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and into the new year. Amen, amen. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, alright? Next week, come back. We're going to talk about 2018. But until then, Happy New Year to all of you. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.